Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank you for being on our prayer call. We have been studying now for 15 weeks about the courtrooms of heaven, about God answering prayer, and how to go about breaking the curses off your bloodlines, your lineage, and how to receive the true blessings of the Lord. So we want to really just encourage you to participate. I'm going to bring a teaching, let you know what God is saying, and give some different testimonies. I'm going to call on many people. I thank you for being on. And before we start tonight, Monty Olson has asked that I do something, because I don't always do this. And we need to. We've been interrupted so many times. The enemy's tried to shut this down time and time and time again. So, Father Yahweh, we just come before you in the precious name of Yeshua, your Son, our Lord and Savior and King. Your Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you are everything. Lord, you are a blessing. We come to praise and worship you and give you thanks. We come to bless your holy name and ask, Lord, that you would show us that which we need to do, say, and be. Lord, that we can be a blessing unto you, that we would not ask you to bless us, but that we would bless you this night and every day. And, Lord, that your spirit be poured out. We need your presence. We need your presence in every home this night. We need your presence in every person this night. We need an outpouring that is so overwhelming to the average individual, but it seems like it's heaviness. But, Lord, your heaviness, your presence, your Shekinah glory, that is the blessing of you being there. And we just ask for that to come. Fill us, empower us, pour out your spirit upon us. Grant unto us revelation, knowledge, and insight, and discernment. Grant unto us, Lord, that you would literally change our heart and our lives, that you would show us that which needs to be done this hour. And, Lord, as we go forward, we bind the enemy, which I started to pray earlier, we bind the enemy that is of the airwaves. And the enemy is Satan. Lord, but we just come right now and ask that you would rebuke the devourer from this, and that you would bind, because we come in agreement with you, bind every power, principality, ruler, wickedness that would come against this call, that would bring interference, that would interfere in the airwaves and the spirit that controls the airwaves, Lord God. We have a free, open line unto you, unto the heavenlies, and we just come before you with thanksgiving and a grateful heart and ask that you would move in such a way that it's undeniable for thy glory in Yeshua's precious name. I want to bring you several important things tonight. I want to lay out an overview of the story once again. When we began this journey months ago now, and I was hesitant, God literally had to speak to me. Monty had been trying to get me to do it. Others had been trying to get me to do it. And I was waiting for the Lord to tell me, and finally he said, I don't want you to do this. Because I knew what we were going to do eventually. I knew where we were going to get to, and we're going to get there again tonight. And it opened up a hornet's nest, and it battled, but that's okay, because we know who we are, I know who I am, and I only want those that walk in that place to be able to pray what I pray and come in agreement. But you have to understand, when we follow after the Lord, we're going to be persecuted. That's the Lord's, you know, he said it. He said, the world does not and cannot understand why or how the kingdom of God operates. And we are walking into a place where the kingdom of God operates. We're walking into a lifestyle. It's no longer just, it's not what so many people get involved in religion. It's relationship. It's a total new lifestyle. We have to realize that we are giving our lives up. And at times it doesn't seem like a big thing, but it is a very big thing, because the rewards of following after the Lord are greater than what we're going to give up, but at the same time, it seems like there's a great cost. And we're in dangerous times. You know, the enemy is doing everything he can to bring discouragement, to bring fear. In Dallas, Texas, one person came into Dallas that had Ebola. People withdrew their children from schools. I mean, fear. They're letting fear prevail. People were doing just, you know, going way out of the way, refusing to go shopping, not going to malls, not going to grocery stores. Just idiocy that the enemy has put on. Yet we're in dangerous times, and we got to understand there's danger ahead, and danger is evil. It's based on evil. The Lord says, "Avoid evil at all costs." But the same thing, we cannot walk in fear. We've got to walk in the power of the Lord and the fullness of his might. So therefore, we have to do what Paul said in Ephesians 6:13. We've got to put on the full armor of God that we'll be able to stand our ground. And when we've done everything to stand, that we can lift up the name of the Lord, knowing in all confidence that he is with us. He's going to give you the direction. If he says don't go somewhere, don't go. He says don't get on a plane, don't get on a plane. But at the same time, do not be afraid to go forward, because after you've done everything, stand, pray, resist the devil, and he's got to flee. So when I give out a whole, I forget how many pages, several even I sent it to, about standing and praying and put on the full armor of God, that we have to literally put on the fullness of Jesus. And when Paul saw the centurion, the guards that were guarding his home he was staying in, he saw them in winter garb. I mean, they were literally decked out. They had hobnail boots on. They weren't walking in sandals. They had leggings on. They had little, there's armor. It's like what we have for football pads now and soccer, shin guards and things like that. The shield is 30-some inches by 40 inches. It's very heavy. It's made out of metal and leather and oak. It, you know, the handle on many of them would literally hold the bow. So there was just a armor that is so strong. And then when we do this, when we gird our loins in truth and shod our feet and legs and prepare our way, you know, the peace of the gospel of peace, and we put on the breastplates of righteousness and helmets of salvation. The helmet he saw, it covered all the way around. There's slits for the ears, and you've probably seen them where the ear could come through and hear, and then it twirled up in the back over the neck, so a glancing blow would go off the basic shoulder pads of the armor from the breastplate. And the shield, you know, the Lord told me, take, be like Rambo, pick up the shield of faith that has the handles, the bow, and there's 12 arrows representing the gospels in the tribe, and there's 3 darts representing Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, which are weapons of mass destruction. Pick up the sword, which is for close contact warfare, and also carry with you on your back the battle axe to break down the doors and take off the head of the strong men. And then a cloak of humility to cover up our weakness, that we'd be humble enough to recognize that we still have weakness. So we are in dangerous times, so be suited up. And what's interesting, when I went to the Lord in this, he showed me many, many times this to me, that the armor has no weight because it's forged in heaven and dipped in the blood of the Lamb. You see, when you take metal, when you take iron and steel and forge it and get it super hot, you dip it in water and hammer it. You hammer it out, dip it in water. And what that dipping in the water does is harden it. Well, our armor is dipped in the blood. It's forged in the forges of heaven. There's nothing that can penetrate it. So do not be afraid. Don't let the enemy come on you and bring about fear, because he wants us to demonstrate our love. And if we are walking in fear, we can't demonstrate our love. I'm at a hotel, and I was just ministering with one of the managers. And she came in here to help me get set up to make this call, and talked to her about her walk and where she was. And I said, I'm going to get you this book, and I'm going to give you these books, and I want you to read them, and this is what I want you to do. And she poured out her heart. And she says, so often when there's Christian conferences, people don't show the love of Christ. They're harsh. And she says, people aren't showing the love. Well, it's the love. You have to be fully armored, but demonstrate God's love. Because we were all sinners. Christ died for us. In Romans 5:8, when, you know, he shed his blood that we could have life and life abundant. So, you know, don't allow the fear of the enemy to harden yourself against people. You know, we have been called as warriors, but our war is not against people. Our war is on our knees. You know, the enemy's really overplayed. He's actually gone too far with much that's going on, and God's saying, you know, he's appointed us for this season, for this time, that we would be the righteousness of Christ, that people would see in us. And this manager of this hotel, she's sitting there pouring out her heart. She says, so often Christians don't show any grace or mercy. They want it, but they don't show it. And what a shame. What a bad testimony to the body of Christ. You know, we've got to recognize that greater is he who is in us than is in the world. It doesn't make any difference if it's Ebola or it's the flu or if it's ISIL or ISIS, however you want to call their name. You know, we are his army. We're his generation. We're miracle workers. We're supposed to be out there making a difference. And we're not called to be on the defense. We're called to be on the offense. If we have the mind of Christ, we can face any storm and calm it down. You know, so what's God call on you? Did he call you to be a rock that is immovable? Did he call on you to go with him and stand on the rock that's immovable? You see, we've got to be able to flow with what God's saying to us that we can be a beacon of light in the darkness. We've got to go and move up. We've got to literally have the faith in the Lord that he's going to answer our prayers and believe that he's willing to answer our prayers from the smallest to the greatest. We've got to have the knowledge of the Word based on what we are going into. So if you're going into a situation, study, pray. Be willing to show other people how to break the curses. Pray continually. You know, you can pray in the spirit while you're doing business. You can pray in your spirit. You can pray in your mind and be thankful. Be confident in the Lord and then recognize that which he's given us is going to be the keys to the kingdom. Now, we literally are coming through and in the middle of still the season of tabernacles. Now, we celebrated through the 15th of this month, which was the first 7 days was Rosh Hashanah, as some people say, maybe it's more proper. And then we entered in the next day, the 16th, okay, into the beginning or birthing of a new season. And the anointing that gets released in that new season, if we'll recognize it, is greater than the old season. So it's actually called the festival, it's following the festival of Sukkot, which is what we just did. I still have my Sukkot tent, my booth in my home. We actually put up a tent, a Sukkot, and get in there every night and pray. But we've now gone into the next, it's called Shemini, or the 8th. It's going into that next day. It's the day of new beginning that we started into last Thursday. And this runs for the next 10 days. It's a transition from the old, and God, we step into the place where we have the days of all repentance, into the days of God dwelling with man, into the time of celebration. Okay, so this is literally, this. We finished up the Feast of Joy. This becomes the time of happiness. This is the time where you say, do not sorrow. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. He is with you to release the harvest of the new season. So literally he's saying that the reapers are going to overtake the sowers now. We're going into the new season that he's pouring out a blessing that is beyond what we've seen in the past because of the revelation that he's bringing. And he wants to bring a revelation of the harvest to come where we are those who bring reconciliation. And you're not going to bring reconciliation full of fear, bound up like a rock sitting in a corner. You've got to get amongst the people and bring about a blessing. The Lord says the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. And in Habakkuk 2:14, as the waters cover the sea. So the knowledge of the Lord is going to be great. I've said this over and over again on our calls. That which is being poured out, the knowledge that is being poured out is knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Now, many a times we've talked these last several weeks about birthing. I know of several families that have given birth to young sons and others who are still, they're weeks past due. I forget, it was Dan. Dan's on the call. Dan and I were talking and praying together the other morning, and he says, Lord, wait, it's not the birthing of the kingdom. And I said, no, he's right. Kingdom's here. Kingdom's at hand. It's birthing the sons of God into the kingdom that we're called to do right now. We're doing that by breaking off lineage curses, iniquities, breaking off that which the enemy has brought about that we can go forward with the inheritance of the promise. So we literally, this is how God takes you from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from grace to grace. This is that transition of going from dimension to dimension because all of a sudden, you stepped into a place where you've not been before because you stepped into the place of inheritance. You stepped into literally where you've broken a curse You repented for that which was in the past in your bloodline. You've taken it before the courts of heaven. You've broken off the curse, repented, and the Lord forgives and heals the bloodline. He remits the sin. He takes it away. So let's go to the Second Chronicles 6, 26, 27. When the heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee. Yet if they pray towards this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven, forgive the sin of thy servant and of the people. And thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk, sin reign on the land. And thou hast given unto thy people for inheritance. So the land which God has given you for inheritance. So what is happening is as we have gone in and asked the Lord to forgive that which has been the iniquity on the bloodlines, literally, he is remitting the sin, removing it over into the courtroom of mercy and grace, putting it in the blood of Jesus, and the inheritance is starting to flow. Connie talked last week about family members receiving cars. Well, you know, the Lord says that we literally, when we're dealing with the thief and when the thief is caught, he's got to return sevenfold that which was stolen. So the biggest thing that's going to be brought forth is the giftings and the fruit thereof. So when we catch the thief, we have authority to trample on him, upon serpents and scorpions, the powers of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt us, as Luke 10, 19. The Lord says, you know, you yourself are going to be a witness and a light because of that which I have done. What's he done? He set us free. He set the bloodline free. We're getting the inheritance of the promise. We're advancing with no hesitation and boldness, which we didn't have before. And again, like Joshua, I spoke this last week. I'll speak it again. And I was speaking earlier and talking about this, and it's out of Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. It's page 67 out of the Lineage and Legacy book. And it's talking about, you know, no hesitation. Now, last week, I got excited. I read part of that which Dutch Sheets and Paul Keith had given in this conference that I was at. There's no more delay. God's saying there's no more delay. The Spirit is being poured out. The blessings are starting to come. The law of reciprocity has to take place. The law of words that's in the book of Proverbs says death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So love life, so speak life. Lord, we come before you, and we ask that you would forgive the sin of iniquity and idolatry, whatever it is that's in my past bloodline, that I could be blessed, that the inheritance would come forth and you would eat the fruit thereof. You're going to speak blessings upon you and your family. You're going to literally call forth that which has been stolen. Now, Tammy's on the phone, dear friend of mine. I'm going to call on her in just a second because I want her to give the testimony of that which has been taking place. So there's a law involved with what is taking place. It's called the law of foreseeability, you know. And you can see evil. You hide yourself from it. But you can also see the blessings of the good coming. You're not to hide from it. You're to bask in it. You're getting in the middle of it. So what God is saying is that there's a law of escape. And that law of escape, there's no temptation too great for man, but the law of escape also includes that if we see that the temptation or the sin caused an iniquity on the bloodline, we can go in and pray, repent of it, and God will bring, according to his riches and glory, the blessings of the covenant to pour out upon us. Now, I want to talk about praying and going in repentance because the Lord is saying over and over again, this is a day of great need. And it's both in prayers and petitions and that which he wants us to do, to speak the seed, his word. So he says, you know, we're supposed to rise up early in the morning and pray. And we've got to literally speak unto the Lord the blessings of the covenant to remind him of the promise that he will pour out a blessing onto us. Now, I'm going to speak about the curses first about what we're to do. You know, we're literally in a season where the nation is being shaken. I've been given privy, as several of you have on this phone call, to high-level meetings going on in the government right now. The government charter of 1871 ended last Wednesday evening. In that, none of the banking system would refinance the FDA or the IMF debt to the states. There's a critical crisis going on right now within the de facto government trying to figure out what to do. There's been an offer to resolve the conflict. But right now, there's great shaking going on. I mean, there's major shaking. There's meetings going on right now, and I've had them confirmed from some of the highest levels. So we're to intercede, and we're to seek that which is the burden of the Lord for us right now, that we could get in the middle of God's perfect will for this, that the sins of the nation would be removed, that the blessing of the covenant could be poured out. Now, I'm going to call on Matt in just a second. We need to understand that we literally at the point of travail for the nation. The nation is at one of the biggest junctures that it's ever been, at a time when it's critical, and unless we repent, what we've been talking about this entire time is repent and prevail in prayer, then the nation is going to crumble. And at the same time, the prophets have seen mighty rushing winds of angels. Multitudes of angels being poured out for this battle because the saints are praying. Marty Cassidy, a prophetess at the church that we're involved with, said, you've got to create the whirlwind through your prayers. And that whirlwind is the stirring of the angels. We literally are to the point that we can ride on the wings of angels into the midst of the heavens to do that which God wants to do in our lives and for this nation. The Lord's given us a promise. He said he would not destroy everything. But the sin will not go unpunished. The sin of the nation, the blood that's been poured out, will not go unpunished. It's going to require repentance. If there's no repentance, then there's not going to be the promise of the blessing. So Matt and I were talking this morning, and Matt, I would like for you to share that what you read about and heard this morning.
Sure. There's been several incidences over the last week or so where different people have called or shared events surrounding the nation. A lot of it financial, and a lot of it has to do with just our current condition, and some of it was very troubling to hear that. It's not uncommon for us to think about it because we can all see the signs. And today, I was listening to a speaker by the name of Glenda Jackson, who is a descendant of her great aunt was Maria Woodworth Etta, who was a great evangelist during the 1800s, the 1900s, and so she's probably a third generation of within this bloodline. Her father was a great healer as well, and she followed in the footsteps of all the family, the great preaching, and just led by the Spirit. So she actually took up her ministry in 1974, and 33 years later, in 2007, she was actually given a message regarding this country and regarding a great movement that would take place. And certain things would start to unfold as far as the Spirit moving and people being moved to just in special ways. And oddly enough, 2007 was also the time of great shaking in this country. You know, obviously we had the financial, the stock collapse and things like that. So it was all goes hand in hand with God's movement. But recently she talked about a visitation that she had, and just the spirit was just overwhelming, and she saw things that were coming in the future. And one of the key points that she brought up was, if this country does not repent and turn back to God, she sees extreme things happening financially. She sees that even our current leadership that's in power in Washington will not be removed unless that this we have a moving and overall shaking of the spirit and people just turning their hearts back to God. There has to be a full turning. She said that, you know, one of the key things she saw was we as Christians and we as believers need to just be totally engrossed in prayer and in the presence of God. And we need to seek that for ourselves, for our family, for our communities. And that light needs to grow and it needs to shine. And there needs to be a movement that just hasn't been seen for a long time. I've seen some other teaching as well that just hit the nail on the head. We need to have an environment and a culture within our homes and within our own personal relationships that just cultivates for the spirit to just do what he needs to do to move through us and effect change in our communities, our homes. And one of the most important things is that was said was we need to press in and we need to continually keep seeking, not just the first time, the second time, the third time, but we need to keep pressing in and praying and seeking God through all these situations. And we need to be intercessors for all communities, workplace, whatever it is, whatever our sphere of influence is, we need to press in with everything we have, and then the shaking will be for the glory of God, and he will release great things. And I saw this teaching twice in the last week, so it was loud and clear to me, and that's really the message I wanted to bring and share.
Well, praise God. And it's not to bring a message of fear. It's to bring a message of repentance. You know, the word says over and over and over again, repent, repent, petition, and praise. And in the books, The Courtrooms of Heaven, in the last chapter 17, there's a review of the protocol in entering to the courtroom. That we literally go before the Lord, the courtrooms of heaven, and listen to the Holy Spirit. Ask him to pray as we ought to pray. And then repent, repent, petition, praise, and declare. When we do this, when we repent for the sins and ask the judge, our Lord and Savior, our advocate, to go before his Father, the judge, and remove the sin from the side of judgment, the accusation and judgment that's on our bloodlines, we're setting ourselves free, and we become the active reconciliation ministers unto the Lord that become lights in darkness. As we do this, we literally can change the course of this nation. Now, it's very important. I do not agree with one thing that Jeanette Strauss talked about, and I want to emphasize this. She says standing in the gap for a person or a situation, repent on behalf of others' sin. That the given right that the enemy has in their life would be removed. God can't forgive the person just because you ask him, but it allows him to move that person into his throne of grace. I'm going to say this. I disagree on that one point. Do not stand in the gap. I want a clear understanding. You do not stand in the gap for anybody unless God tells you to. First of all, family, and then anybody else. Because when you stand in the gap, you're literally standing between the judgment and that person. And there's a lot of strong people on this call tonight. It doesn't make any difference how strong you are. If you stand in the gap wrongly, you're going to suffer because you're in the middle of what God's trying to do in their lives. So only do that when God tells you to. Intercede for everyone. Intercede for this. Intercede for the nation. Intercede for the current government, even though we believe it's improper, God says he puts the government over us. He allows them to be there because of us. So therefore, if we repent and call upon him to remove the sins of the nation, because we're moving into city-state nation now. That's going to be our next call. But every time I want to bring somebody on that has something very important to say. So don't skip the part of asking the Lord what it is that you specifically are supposed to deal with. You know, you can petition the Lord in writing. You can execute judgment that is written that is against the accuser, but you need to understand the protocol and steps. Go back to chapter 15 for that. But the big key becomes this. What is the keys? What is that key? Several years ago, Dr. Bruce Cook came to my home and prayed with Francis and I, and the Lord told him to do something. He said, I'm giving you the keys to the treasury of heaven. And I said, praise God, I'm going to open up the treasury. Things are going to happen, start to get that finance moving. And that wasn't what he was talking about, and I didn't understand it. He didn't give specifics. He just said, you're going to have the keys to the kingdom and the treasury. So I started seeking the Lord, and the Lord showed me something. And this is going to be brought in this next testimony about what the key opens. Tammy, are you available to give the testimony and talk about that which God has done this last week or two?
I sure am. I have been just really searching the Lord. I mean, my heart's desire has always been to be without spot or wrinkle. And since Wade has talked to me about the courts of heaven, I've just been petitioning the Lord and just, you know, doing inventory of my life. Because there was a time that was very sinful. And even though I'd repented for that sin and everything, there were a lot of attachments that I had to get rid of, some purses and everything. And so, probably last week, I had a dream that the Lord showed me that, you know, I had a pretty big thing going on in my bloodline. And it involved my mom and my sister that we were, you know, our house was clean except for one little, you know, one area. And that I had a key in my pocket. And it was, well, actually for about a week I'd been kind of praying over it, you know, okay, Lord, what do I do with this key and what do I need to do? And during that time, I'd gone through a lot of attack. I actually was struck by lightning, just all kinds of stuff. And this bloodline that I was repenting over, this exact bloodline actually is, my bloodline actually runs into George Washington's bloodline on that side, and also the actual landowners of Washington, D.C., was in this bloodline. And so my mom and I and my sister, actually my adopted sister, but we're actually blood, we decided, you know, we petitioned the courts, took this in, I mean, remitted the sin, and oh my goodness, we just cut that head off of that Leviathan, and I mean, it was incredible. And we broke into praise and worship like I have never experienced. And my mom, she has a lot of dreams and everything, and visions, and she saw like a new breastplate that was put on her, and it was sparkling diamonds and gems and jewels. And this actual thing, also I had had a DNA test and showed that I actually came from Israel, and I had a lot of Semitic blood. Actually, I had more Semitic blood than I had just about anything, which I was kind of shocked. And this had tied in with Israel. And it was like the Lord, the Holy Spirit just came in and broke that, and the freedom. And we have just gone around laughing and weeping for days. And, you know, I said, Lord, is there anything else? And I had a dream again last night, and my mom had the same dream, that there was another, you know, attachment on our bloodline. And so we went in today and literally cut off the branches, and I mean, it was just incredible. And I mean, I cannot believe the difference that even family members that don't even know what we've done are even acting better. And the biggest thing that I realized today, that I have been dancing and warring, and I mean, all over the house, and I realized, oh my goodness, my body is healed. I had an accident 5 years ago that it was connected to this curse on this bloodline. And a lot of my family members had had head injuries, and I had a pretty traumatic head injury. And I had been, I actually almost died from it. And all of a sudden, as soon as that was broken off, and I just started dancing, I have not had, you know, one drop of pain, and so that has totally gone off. I mean, my body is healed, and I just, I know that, you know, I figure there's probably a few more, you know, that I need to cut off, but I'm just, the Lord is just showing me in an order of what I need to prune off and what I need to petition the courts. And it has just, it literally has changed my life. And just that first thing that we remitted the sin off our bloodline, I just cannot tell you the, I've never been the same. I mean, it's just, it's incredible. I just, and especially the dancing and the healing, that is just, and I would just, and, you know, so I'm spreading this to my other family members and other people, you know, that I know that they need to go and petition the courts and just remit anything that, you know, and the sins that I remitted actually had nothing, you know, it wasn't my sins, but my ancestors. And as soon as that was remitted, I can't even put it into words.
Well, let me, I'm going to have a conversation with you about this, Tammy. Now, Tammy, I consider one of my dearest friends. She's a true sweetheart. Her and Lori have been in youth ministry. Lori's been in it her entire life. And Tammy's her right hand, and what a blessing they are. And we have some things we're working on together. When she called me up last week, she had a dream, and she was asking for interpretation. She had part of it, and God gave it to me instantly, and I just gave it to her. And they went and did it, and I said, and I told her what the key was. What did I tell you the key was?
Oh, the key. I was to take it out, and that was going to, the Lord was going to show me where the keyhole was, and it would open, I forgot, that was the biggest part, that it would open up the door to all of the blessings that had been withheld from that Leviathan spirit, that had been withheld all through the bloodline because of that sin, and that key was going to open the door and release it. And that did happen during the praise and worship, when the key was huge, and it was like a huge skeleton key, and when I put it in the door and opened it, it just almost knocked me back. It was just incredible. Oh, my
God.
It was almost
that,
like...
Glory to God.
Words. Yeah.
The key is praise. The key becomes our praise into the situation. When Tammy was telling me, I told her she didn't need to go through the whole dream, but I'll give you one part. There was the Leviathan spirit. It was like a crocodile that filled the room. It wasn't moving, but crocodiles stay very still just before they strike. And I told her, I said, it's grown fat on the blood of your ancestors, the righteous bloodline. And when you lance it, and I used the vernacular of East Texas and Louisiana, I said, gut the sucker and make a pair of boots out of him. You know, because when you lance it, what comes out, what poured forth was not going to be filth. It was going to be the bloodline blessing, inheritance. And you've got to expect, all of you have to expect something. When you do this, understand that the enemy has grown fat on your blessings. So therefore, he's not just going to be happy about the fact that you just took it back. So when she, I said, when you lance this, it's going to be like a mist fills the room. It's like his blood just blowing out everywhere. But the Leviathan is going to shrink and shrink and shrink, and no longer it was 30 feet long and 10 feet wide and 6 feet tall. It was going to become so small she had to use a magnifying glass to see it. Literally, because what is happening is releasing the inheritance. It's releasing the promises. It's releasing the bloodlines. And when you go in, now her family bloodline, and unfortunately, somebody that I wanted on the call is not on tonight, but their bloodline also goes back to the founding fathers, as does David's and mine. But in the situation of Tammy, it goes back to they owned the property that Washington, D.C. is built on. Now, it was sold for a righteous cause to establish a nation, but it was perverted through Freemasonry and the Luciferian Covenant. So there's a curse on the bloodline. It's a, you know, it's, well, they didn't sin. No, they didn't. But the blessing was withheld because the blessing was, it was going to be a blessing for this nation. So as she was dealing with the different curses, and she took the key and opened the door, the glory of the Lord shone through. And would you tell them about that light, that glory that you saw in the vision, Tammy?
Oh, my goodness. It was like every color imaginable. I mean, like white and yellow and red and it just bright. It was like when you open up something and there are so many jewels and treasures, like you've opened up a room full of treasure and the light hits it and it is so bright that it blinds you. That's what it was. And it was just, it was so overpowering. My mom has not been the same since. She just keeps dancing and shouting and praising. And it was very overwhelming. And she immediately saw on her, she said she saw like angels putting new garments on her. And then I saw the same thing. It was like angels just putting garments on us, on me and Lori and Mom. And the new garments, and on there were it was a, you know, like a family crest or a breastplate that you put on. It was, oh my goodness, there were lines on it, but it was so bright, and the jewels were just, oh man, it was just outstanding. And probably from that, since that has happened, I have been so, I don't know how to explain it, but I've been real tender, and I just, you know, I just start weeping, and just, I've just been in really a lot of praise, a lot of worship with the Lord, and so has everyone else, and Mom and Dory, and so, you know, that broke that off of our family. And I know that the Lord had shown me, too, that, you know, that went back all the way because of when I did the DNA test, that it showed that I, my heritage went right back to Israel, and that too also went back further that direction.
So, all right, let me bring a point in here. So what Tammy's dealing with was a sin just on her bloodline. Okay, it goes all the way back to Israel. As David and I did several weeks ago when we prayed, we went all the way back to Israel on bloodlines. And we prayed you all through different areas. Now, you got to understand something. In Tammy's dream and vision, she was in her home and it was spotless. I mean, you could lick off, you could eat off the floors. Everything about the house was spotless. She had been covered by the blood. She was free from sin. But when she went into the laundry room and went into a laundry basket, there were filthy garments, and when she picked those up, there were snakes underneath. And that kind of led into where what we got. And that the Lord showed that back generations, the snakes represented iniquity of false religion and worshiping the false Trinity all the way back to Israel. He said, well, gosh, am I guilty of that? No. But it withheld blessings. So when you free up your bloodline, it frees up your family name. Okay, so give you some ideas. This comes out of the Harbinger. And it caused me to go back and start rereading the Harbinger. And this is from Tammy's, you know, telling me that which was shown in the interpretation the Lord gave me with her. But carnality, greed, materialism, vanity, self-obsession, taking the blood of the innocent. Now, you all might not be, you know, guilty. I was guilty. Okay, I was involved in abortion. Okay, and then it goes back. How many babies in this nation? How many have been sacrificed to Moloch? You go, well, Lord, I've never done any of those things. Well, what about the apathy on the bloodline? What about complacency or compromise into darkness? Sins of omission. I was just sitting here talking to this woman who's now a Christian and actually been in the ministry field several times on mission trips, and they're talking about how they're looking forward to having their kids go out for Halloween. Well, you know, that's compromise with darkness. Yeah, how can you compromise with darkness? How can you light and darkness share the same space? You can't. Serving of other gods, this goes back to that idolatry, you know, that's back on the bloodline somewhere along the way. It's not anything you've done in particular, or you've been forgiven of. But you're to be the light. So as the bride, and I'm going to make the statement, you are the bride. We're the bride. He said he's coming for a bride without spot or blemish. Tammy's house was clean, and I know Tammy. Their house is clean, and I mean physically and spiritually. Their house is clean. They're in prayer all the time. But the Lord showed her in the prayers there were filthy garments. There were sins of iniquity back generations, all the way back to Israel. And as soon as those things are canceled, the promises of the bloodline, since most of the people are no longer alive, they come straight through like a shaft. Okay? And the turning takes place, and the blessings start overtaking you. So what we have to look at is, all right, where are we right now in this nation? We're at a time of great judgment. We're a time of great fear. It's as if the time, as in the days of Noah. And the Lord said again, you know, he said it to me again, walk circumspectly, not as fools but wise. Redeem the time because the days are evil. We're in evil days. When good is called evil and evil is called good. In Houston, Texas, where I'm from, the gay mayor has put out an order that the pastors that speak anything about homosexuality have to turn their sermons over to the city before they preach them. Well, that's in violation of many constitutional amendments. She has no right to do that. But the people in the city are saying, well, that's right. They should not be able to talk about it. This is hate crimes. That's not hate crimes. It's hate sin. You know, so we got to wait upon the Lord and renew our strength and press in just as the whirlwinds that people are talking about. There's whirlwinds of angels. They're stirring in the spirit. And we've got to mount up on those wings of those eagles, and we've got to be prepared to go forward and understand that God's forgiven our sins, and he'll forgive the sins of those that have in our bloodline in the past. He'll remit the sin, take them off of our bloodline, that the gifts and fruits and promises can be poured forth for now, even though your house might be without spot or blemish. But the nation is not, and the nation is going to be judged horribly for the sins. Now, I, for one, do not want this maniac dictator to be in office anymore. But if the nation does not repent, if we the people, if you and I and those that you know, if you don't encourage the people to repent and teach them about this, how they can remove the sins of the nation by going and asking God for forgiveness for the idolatry, forgiveness for the innocent blood that's been shed. If we don't do that, who's going to? You've already said, and many people say on these calls, that, you know, these things are not taught in the church. No, they're not. True repentance, they'll call to do a repentance for you to get saved, but they don't do anything past that. I'm not judging. I'm just saying we have to say to the people, all right, now we've dealt with this. Let's get your life. Let's get your land clean, that you become an advocate of righteousness unto the Lord, that you become a reconciler unto the Lord through his blood and through repentance. So, Tammy, is there anything else you'd like to share?
Well, I've got one more thing.
I got bleeped out there.
Okay, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
So.
I just want to say one more thing.
Yeah.
I had the other dream that dealt with, there was one more thing that the Lord had shown me on the bloodline that had to do, he took me back to Baal worship, that had to do with Moloch, Asherah, and Baal, and it had to do with the dreams that my mom and I both had together. And so we went through and cut that off today. And so that was another thing that, I mean, you know, none of us had anything to do with Baal or Baal worship, but on down the bloodline. And it literally just, you know, we did the worship again and just danced and worshiped, and I was on my face for quite a while. But with these two things, it has made such a difference. I feel like I am absolutely free. I mean, it is just, anyway, it's very important to...
Well, everybody that's listening to Tammy talk right now, take notes of those specific areas. Matter of fact, Francis and I are going to do that tonight. There's a couple things that we missed. And our kids are not free yet. In church Sunday, one of the pastors came up to us and they said, we got to get together this week. God showed me something. We're going to take this before the heavens, and God's going to bring your children back in. Well, you know, praise God. We're going to make every effort to sit down with those that pray and counsel. So this is tonight. You're on with those that pray. We're going to go into the heavens and ask the Lord to reveal to us before I close tonight areas that'll go back generations, but deal with these specific areas of compromise that maybe you had nothing to do with it, but along the way there's a judgment on the bloodline. I want you and your family set free. I want my children set free, that we can go forward. Now, I'm going to call on somebody that was on a couple weeks ago, and it was the day that I was recovering from a mild stroke, and that's Jean Hertler. Jean, would you like to share with us anything tonight? I know you've been listening in, but I truly appreciate you being part of what we do, and your book is coming out, and I just like, if there's anything you'd like to share, Jean.
Thank you, Brother Wade. I'm so happy to be with you tonight. I'm blessed, and to hear the testimonies, it so bears witness in my spirit with what the Lord impresses upon me and is speaking to me for this hour. It truly is about repentance. I do know in my heart that we're at a critical juncture in this nation, and as I've been studying and researching and being available to the Holy Spirit to tell the story, which I believe is a love letter of the Father to the people, I do believe that the people are going to turn, and when they turn, and I don't know what it'll be that'll cause them to turn, but I would imagine it would be something just like we've seen before with 9/11. But anyhow, he'll pull back that veil, and they'll see just what the enemy has planned for us.
Yeah.
I believe true repentance, not just something that lasts 2 weeks or at halftime of a football game where they sing a patriotic song and then think they've had a spiritual experience and then have a beer and a brat, but true repentance that stays and brokenness, that will trigger revival, renewal, a move of the Holy Spirit. I believe that the great awakening that we've been waiting for so long, that'll be, the latter will be greater than the former. We're just about there. And the nation will reenter into covenant with God, and then our enemies become his enemies. I believe for that because I've prayed for it, and he's shown me the steps that it will happen. We're not there yet, but that's what I have in my heart and know.
Well, Gene, one of the things that we're seeing, it's like Tammy's testimony. Now, Tammy hadn't been part of our calls. Tammy and Lori and them are in full-time ministry. They've affected, I can't tell you how many thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of lives have been changed because of their ministry up in Oklahoma. And so she's not been a part. We just shared a couple times. I haven't even gotten into books. We just shared. She immediately grabbed hold and jumped into this. And I believe, Gene, what you're saying is absolutely 100% right. It's going to take each one of us, because I want to be part of that bride. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I believe there's actually multiple, if you want to call it raptures, there's going to be multiple taking aways. He's coming for his bride first. And then there's literally, as you go into tribulation, there's going to be those that die, that they're martyred. But they're righteous saints. They're martyred. And then those at the end, and you know, because the angels will literally speak the gospel. And it'll go all the way down to a third of the world is all that's going to be left. And the word says, unless he intervened, all would perish. All. And I'll be honest with you, folks. It doesn't make any difference what we do as far as people, as humans. We will not change the plans of the Lord. Okay. Tribulation's going to happen. Difference becomes what's going to happen to you and your family. Well, that was Gene is talking about, that, you know, the judgment is coming. But he's sending out love letters. She's written a book that's literally a love letter of God's mercy. You know, I've got some what we'd call white papers, things that I've worked on. It's about what God has done. But the word is specific, and he says, Paul says in Romans 12, I love the Roman road, but Romans 12, I beseech thee, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So your reasonable service, because you've heard what we've been saying, is to do what you've heard. Now, Gene, you've been given revelation. And because of that revelation, you have a greater, I can't say it's a calling, but I can say it's a requirement. Do you agree with me on that? Or disagree? It's okay.
I sure agree. There's great responsibility with it. And Wade, in the last few years, I was raised with a tremendous work ethic, but I've never worked harder in my life. And sometimes my husband will check me and he'll say, are you driven? And I'll say, no, I'm compelled. And I work with a standard of excellence unto the Lord, but this is this is something unique that I've never experienced before. I know without doubt that that I'm doing what I was created to be and to do, which has been my prayer my whole walk. And it is so wonderful to hear that there's others that that are uninhibited in the Lord, in the praise, in the dance, in the intercession. And I have been through my own journey for some years, and through that, and even hours of praise and praying in the Spirit, and had tremendous spiritual encounters. So I feel like I was already birthed, if you will, to do this work, and I'm not done, and I'm tired, but I won't stop because I can't. I don't know if I answered what you were saying or not, but it is a responsibility. It is, when you know that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, there's nothing that can stop you because it's what you're supposed to do. I think you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like with this call. This has been 4 years. Actually, in July was 4 years that I've been doing this call. There have been as few as a half dozen people and as many as 580 was our largest call. And last year we were numbering in the hundreds, and now we number in the 20s. I've literally shut it off to the people on the outside because the Lord said to minister to the body. Now, what we are doing with this repentance is ministering to the body first, because the body is sick and the body's got to get healthy. We, and just as Tammy's dream and vision and the what Lord's given her, her house was without spot or blemish. Her house was clean. But when she went into the laundry room, which represented there still had to be some things to be cleansed, and she looked down in that clothes hamper, and there were two filthy garments. And the Lord, I told her it was just like Joshua the high priest. This was the accusations of the enemy that was on the bloodline. That Leviathan had been feeding off the bloodline. It had grown fat from the promises of God in our lives. So as we recognize that we're becoming the bride of Christ, and I want to be the bride of Christ, I want to be at that marriage supper. I want to sing and dance uncontrollably before the Lord to be a part. I've got plenty of shortcomings. Yeah, Paulette?
I'm new to the call. My daughter invited me to be part of it.
Yeah.
But she has spoken to me every week on what has happened on the call. And I just want to say, I am very close to God. I mean, God actually does talk to me. And I think my daughter had told you that I was being attacked by flies.
Did you say flies?
Flies, F-L-Y-S.
Yeah.
Like a plague of flies.
Yeah.
Well, through her being online, and they're gone now. They're gone.
Well, you know, and that goes back to, you know, the pestilence. Pestilence is on the nation. Okay. And when we go back and deal with the pestilence, what caused that in our bloodline? So apparently you've gone back and dealt with some things that was in the past that you weren't particularly responsible for. Did you have a specific thing that you dealt with?
I have prayed on it. Some things have come up, but it's things that I do know, and I don't know if that would be, you know, it. My grandfather did murder someone, which was totally, you know, there was no reason. I mean, he had a reason, yeah. She wanted to leave him. My brother just came out of prison 2 years ago, and he killed someone, but that was in self-defense. I was told by a priest years ago that whatever my brother you know, did. It has nothing to do with me, and however he acts has nothing to do with me. I am responsible for me. I have, you know, my brother should not have been in prison. I did see the court paper, so he shouldn't have been. My grandfather, yeah, he did. But he did change before coming out. He did find God and was reborn, and he was a changed man. And I thank God for that, that he did find peace before he passed away. But I do have a question on the person that was saying about the Twin Towers. And I would like to know, in her feelings or being told, because I do know, who is responsible, does she think, or know, rather, about the Twin Towers coming down?
Wait a minute, about the Twin Towers? We didn't mention that tonight at all. That was not brought into the conversation.
Yeah, yes, some female did, yes.
Wait, that would have been me when I brought up a shaking that would be coming to the country that would be what America experienced with 9/11. And I would refer back to the book called The Harbinger that explains the hedge of protection that is being removed from the country, the hedge of protection of God being removed. Because the country is apostate, the nation is apostate or turned away from him. I hope
that's
helps.
True. The nation has turned away, and this nation that we live in is responsible for the Twin Towers coming down. So the people in the high office of the president, as well as advisors, are responsible for that.
You need to understand something, Paulette. Is, you know, whether which theory that we have and what we can prove, and we can prove a lot. You know, there's a lot that's hidden that won't come out, and I deal with some of the acronym agencies. I won't go into them on this call, but I deal with some of them and people in those positions. Understand, the sin of the nation brings this about. It wasn't just the sin of those men. So when we repent before the sin of the nation, or the sin, you know, as we go into repenting and asking for forgiveness, anything on our bloodline, the first thing has to be cleaned up. It's like in your family situation. There's a spirit of murder. There's a spirit of death in the family bloodline. So what you do is you go back and ask God to show you, where did that begin? Now, Nancy's still in, I believe Nancy's still over in Israel. She asked God what had caused the specific stopping of a blessing and went several generations back. And God showed her it was a sin of omission, not commission. It was a sin of not doing. So as you, you know, and if you want these books, I sent them to your mom, and I'll be,
sent them to my daughter.
Ah.
I'm the mom.
Okay.
I'm
okay, all right, forgive me. All right, I will send, you know, if you don't have them, I'll be glad to send them to you also. I've got three.
No, my daughter
yeah.
does have them, and we, and she has been reading them to me.
Yeah.
She has been reading them to me.
So
but
what God is talking about is the first land that's got to be cleansed is your own. It's you.
Yeah, well,
that's the land you want to deal with.
As far as my grandfather and my brother is totally believing in God and has converted to Judaism. I consider myself a Judean Christian. He doesn't believe in Jesus at all, so he only totally believes in God. But my grandfather did find God before he came out. So there is nothing going on that. At that end.
No, you're missing the point.
Going
all
on,
that,
has to
all
do
that.
With my husband.
Listen, you're missing the point. And on this call, I can't go into it. I'll be glad to go into it individually with you. The point's not what they did. Is what is the sin in the past lineage that brought this about? Because your grandfather was not the first. Your brother was not the first or the second. It's got to be something back in there. I've got plenty on my bloodline, believe me. So what God will show you is where it began, and that's where you want removed from the bloodline.
Well, that's where the dreams are. They're in my legally separated husband. That's where the dreams, that's where it's coming to me from in the dream.
Yeah, but I'm not, I'm telling you that that's not it. That's not your bloodline. It's got to go from your father, grandfather, back, not your husband.
But it's my daughter's bloodline.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, that, like I said, you and I will have to deal with this separately because I need to go elsewhere on this call on this.
Okay.
But I'll be glad to talk to you.
All right. Thank
this.
You.
Yeah. Let me deal with a couple more things that are very significant in this repenting for the nation. Now, I've asked you to get prepared to repent for your city and your state and then the nation. You can repent for any and all of it as you go along, but as we did 2 weeks ago, we literally took the nation before the courts. Okay, and this was where David and I took specific things. And then last week, under the unction and the move of the Spirit, and Gene, were you on that call last week?
No, sir, I missed it.
Okay, if you can play it back, you still can hear it.
Yes.
The Spirit of God moved in such a way, and this was, I believe, the reason that I came under such attack prior to, I came under attack on Sunday, and I had what's called a TLM, a minor stroke. Okay, the enemy tried to put me down again, and I said, no, we're not going to let that happen, God. And God raised me up, and I was fine by Tuesday. It's just I was exhausted on Monday. And it was dealing with, and Dan is the one that brought this to my attention. It was specific spirits in legalism. Now, the legalistic side of it, the Luciferian society, is tied into the Founding Fathers through Freemasonry. And if you look at it, the Mormon Church is actually based totally on Freemasonry. They didn't fess up to it until you corner them. But it's Luciferian. They believe that Jesus and Lucifer are brothers. So they worship another Jesus. So the Mormons that you know, and I've got a brother-in-law converted, so I know a whole bunch of them, been to some of their events just because of family. And, you know, that what they believe is so perverted, and the average churchgoer does not know it. So it becomes a matter of research. Now, I want to give a snippet into your, excuse me, Gene, I just want you to give 2-3 minutes. Are you publishing the book? Are you ready to go to publishing about this love story? About about the nation?
There's 3 sections to the book, and I am doing a last tidbit of finishing up the 2nd section. I'm hoping that that's done this week. The 3rd section will be the story of what's happened in the last few years in the re-inhabitation.
Okay.
And then it also incorporates other things that have happened in that.
Right.
So
okay.
I've got some work ahead.
Well, keep us appraised, and I would like to, we'll promote it.
Thank you. Thank you. When I'm done, I will seek out a publisher. I believe I'm supposed to do that. Thank you.
Yeah absolutely. Now, there's several folks that I call on a regular basis because of their walk, and many of you, I know Rockwell's got grandkids right now, so I'm not going to bother him. And I try to get other people each time, but there's a few that I always feel have something that's very important to add in. And then there's a couple of you that I haven't talked to in a while. So I want to ask Marlene. Marlene, is there anything you'd like to share or add tonight before I call on
the last
few people? Yes.
No, I just was enjoying the call tonight.
Okay.
It's just been one of those days. I attended one of my classmates' parents' funeral today, and so I was just enjoying the serenity of the call.
Okay.
And it's always good to hear you.
Oh, praise God. Well, you know, you and Chuck are or two that listen in regularly, and I, since I hadn't talked to you in a while, I just wanted to check with you.
I certainly appreciate it, and I keep you all in my prayers.
No, that's great. I appreciate it. Linus, you still with us? Let me see. I'm looking up the board here. I've got about the same number. It's just a few people have changed. Linus Vaughn, Pastor Vaughn, are you still with me? Nope. Looks like Linus had to leave us.
Hey, Linus, I had to just interrupt. My call dropped, and I'm back on. So I'm just.
All right, David. I saw you just came back on. I'm going to call you in just a second here. I call on David a lot. David walks and ministers the gift of prophecy. He's a seer and a hearer, so I always love to have him. Linus works in the ministries and the gifts, and I always call on him because of that, about what he has to add in. So the Linus did leave. I knew he had something else getting ready to happen. Okay. David, is there anything you want to share tonight before I take it in a direction about repentance?
Well, it's an interesting thing today during my time with God. It was, I was like, what? Okay. This is what I need to share. This really has nothing to do with what we're talking about, although it does. He wants us to check our health. He was really talking to me about our health and well-being and making sure that we are exercising and that we're getting out, walking and doing things regarding health, taking the right supplements, balancing our sugars, doing all these things, dealing with our health to make sure that we're physically capable of maintaining and going through this thing that we're going through. Because without working out and getting physically healthy, we can get exhausted. People are exhausted. I think from what I understand about this is that we've got to start working out and getting healthier. Because the healthier you are, the healthier the soldier is, the more capable he is to do his job. The fight that he can fight on, the things that he can deal with. And so that's the thing that was really impressed on me today about what I felt like I needed to share about some things, is for us to look at our health and check it out. And if there's something that's going on, we need to address it. And we need to walk healthier and exercise, eat the right foods, put some of the food that we know is bad down.
Well, I want to take that further because that's just the perfect parallel where we are in the spirit. We've got to get spiritually healthy. As I read earlier out of the scripture, but it's a quote from today, we're in dangerous times. And the walk that we're walking into, if you read the book The Harbinger, which Gene recommended, and that's part of our reading earlier on this year, it's very important. The Shemetta, his new book, the season that we've gone into, is extremely important. And all of this ties in. If you can't, being in the Spirit is not enough. You're going to have to walk out some things. You're going to have to. I've lost 20 pounds. I got a whole lot more to lose to get healthy. Spending 6-8 hours a day on the computer and on the phone is not doing what needs to be done. And David's absolutely right. We have got to prepare. And I don't want you to panic on this, but you've got to prepare for war. And soldiers that go into war are taken through boot camp, and they're gotten into shape. And recognizing that we literally we're at war, and that's why I pray the armor of God every day. And the Lord told me this years ago, and I taught it for over a year. And we're in the evil day. So what did Ephesians 6:13 say? Therefore, put on the full armor of God. You have to look at the word put, so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. Matthew, you've done everything to stay and stand, therefore stand. And David, you're absolutely right. We have to literally tune up physically to be prepared spiritually.
And so, you know, I mean, like, for instance, you know, with my own self, I have an issue where my blood sugar is starting to maybe balance out, but I've ended up having neuropathy in my feet. And it hurts like that. I'm in pain. Been in pain all day long. And nothing I'm taking right now is helping it. And so, you know, when I started going through all of this, I mean, that's what happened. Pain was there, and I'm like, God, what is going on? I said, David, you got to get better in physical shape than what you've been. I mean, he checked me on him. Okay, I'm sorry. So I'm confessing my faults to one another here. I have slipped in that aspect, and I need prayer that God and I can work through this.
All right. Let me read something that just falls in line with what you just said. This just came out the day before yesterday. It's from Pat Francis. And I actually went to Africa with Pat. She's an ambassador to the UN from Canada and a minister of the Lord. She recently read a story about General Eisenhower, who upon his command watched aboard vast armada of 3,000 ships containing 80,000 soldiers sailing across the waters to the shores of Sicily for the war. Squadrons of planes wore through the sky, and as he watched brave soldiers go out, knowing that inevitably there's going to be more casualties than those that return, he was deeply moved. He sprang to action and saluted his heroic men. Then he bowed his head in silent prayer, and his staff members joined him in a brief act of devotion. And turning to an officer beside him, he said, "There comes a time when you've used your brains, your training, your technical skill, and the die is cast, and the events are in the hands of God, and you have to lead them with him." Excuse me. "And after you've done everything, stand and pray, therefore I say stand." This was Eisenhower quoting the same thing. We've got to be aware that the situation around us is going to get even more uncomfortable, but if we will do that, we need to do the steps that we need to take and the urgency that God's putting on you to take those steps. Even though temptation comes and, you know, all kinds of things come at you, recognize that if you will persist and stay on track and refuse to give up, God is going to bring you peace, and he's going to bring you the breakthrough that Tammy was talking about that her and her family are experiencing. You're going to have to stay on course unto the Lord and recognize that it's not just you, it's not. And as I was saying to Paulette, and I wasn't trying to be rude to her, that literally we're in a situation where we have to look beyond our own family. We got to look way back. We got to look at what is the blemish on the bloodline. What is the seed of the word that needs to be given to change the inheritance and free it up? You know, God gave Abraham a promise. He said, "Behold, I'll give unto thee seed as heirs of mine." You know, and you shall literally be, out of you shall come the generations that fill the earth. They'll be as abundant as the sand in the sea. And he gave a promise and an inheritance. And we have missed our inheritance because of these things. That's why the courts of heaven are so important in our lives, and that's why they're so important for this nation. Now, the Lord's given his great love. He's poured out a love unto us that is beyond even understanding. And even though it seems like the task before us, and John and I talked about this, when you ask the Lord to show you what these things are, they can seem overwhelming, but they're not. You take them one at a time, one step at a time, one prayer at a time, to break them down. And he'll bring about the visitation. He'll bring about that which needs to be done. He'll give you the word of knowledge, the word that needs to be dealt with, and he'll remove the layers of limitations that's in your life. He'll let you see through the veil, and he'll hand you the key that'll open up in your life the point where you can praise and dance and worship the Lord because of the great outpouring that he's doing. So the word, and I'm going back to Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, continuing instantly in prayer, doing that which is necessary, okay, necessary to bring about your victory, you and your bloodlines. I want my children and my grandchildren set free. I want us to be able to go forth in such a way that we'll rejoice beyond anything we've ever seen. There's so many churches that you can't lift your hands. You can't dance. You can't sing. And sometimes people say it's disrespectful. Well, I guess David's wife's barrenness, because she thought he was disrespectful, it cost her the blessings of her kingdom, the children, and an heir. And it was passed on to his other wives because she treated him with disrespect because he lifted his hands in total abandonment. He danced before the Lord. He sang. He worshiped. Folks, get past you. Get past your limitations and let God. Rejoice within that rejoice. If there's someone weeping, weep with them and pray. But rejoice unto the Lord. Don't allow the enemy to bring false pride, humility. Right now, the word has come out from the prophets. There's a stirring of angels. There's a stirring, and it's like whirlwinds. It's coming across the land. Angels are coming out in multitudes to fight the fight for us. But we have to enter in. They've got to know that you're one of those that they're going to stand up with. You literally got to ride the wind of the angel's wings because he will lift you up. And you're going to be lights in darkness. You're going to bear fruit like you've never imagined could even be born. And in that, you're going to bless the nation because of what you've been learning. Now, as I was talking to Jean, she understands this. There's a great cost for knowledge. There's a great cost to be a teacher because everything you teach, you're going to be tested on. I get tested every time we do these calls. So I want to encourage you. Don't give up. Don't give in. There's going to people fall, but he's going to make you light and brightness. Dan, is there anything you'd like to share, or Brenda, that you'd like to share, or prayer that you'd like to lift up?
Did I unmute myself?
Yes, you did. We can hear you.
Okay, I couldn't see it. I couldn't remember if I unmuted myself or not. Brenda may have something, but you were just touching on some things actually that have been on my heart, and I would say, and this, I can only apply to others what I have to apply to myself, because I say this to myself as much as anyone else. Don't let pride of our family rob you of what belongs to you. My family, I've heard about other families here. My family on one side was direct descended from Benjamin Franklin. The other side of my family, there's a lot of, almost all of that side of the family comes from England, and the names Wilson and Walker in particular have very strong royal bloodlines. Those are good things to know, but I can't allow that to taint the need. The Lord had showed me a few years ago that I had come, or at least part of my family had come from the tribe of Benjamin. And the tribe of Benjamin was cursed terribly because of sexual perversion, homosexuality. What they did nearly cost the entire tribe of Benjamin to be destroyed. There were only, I believe, it was either 600 or 800 out of millions of the tribe of Benjamin that were left because of perversion. And I have had to pray and
ask God to forgive my bloodline and continue to, Lord, show me whatever needs to be, I need to see. Don't let pride rob you of what belongs to you. And I say that to myself. None of us can allow, as I was listening here to different ones, Wade, I heard you speaking earlier about, you know, the Lord had showed someone something in your bloodline that you needed to pray about. And you accepted that, I want to get with this person to pray. And that needs to be our approach. That when we see something or God shows us something or someone else, our approach needs to be whatever it takes to get clean, whatever it takes to get the bloodline clean, to get this off of our bloodlines, to get it off of our children, our grandchildren. There's nothing. There is nothing I have other than Christ that I want to pass on to my children or grandchildren. And I certainly don't want to pass on any dirt. I certainly don't want to pass on anything from my bloodline. I don't want to pass that on. And there's enough things that things I know of that we will continue to pray about. I just have an issue with my eyes that I know there is a spiritual resolution to. Don't let Satan cause pride to rob you or your family of what belongs to you, of your inheritance. It's too important. It's way too important. Before I forget, brother, I do need to speak to you after the call, if it's possible.
Briefly.
Well,
you know, I had a word for Dan the other day. Okay, and the word was, and I'm taking a bold step here, that Dan was going to be healed.
Yes.
Okay. That his vision is going to be restored because of that which he's doing. That's you know, and then that's a bold step, but we've got to understand that we're stepping out in boldness. And you know, I'm not puffed up about it. It's a scary position. Giving Tammy words of knowledge. If you're not used to it, it's even if you're used to it, and I am, it's still a scary position. Because you don't want to be wrong. You don't want to give somebody that which is wrong. But if you do it in the Spirit of the Lord, sit back and watch God. Forgive me, Dan. Anything else?
No, I just encourage everyone to continue. It just confirms what this evening, what I've heard again, what the Lord's been talking to me about, showing me. You know, we just have to, as a people, as a nation, not only individually, but also as a nation, we've got to be on our face before God. This is the time. This is the season to do this. This next few months, this is the season. I know Wade's been talking about it, others, we've been talking about it a lot, but this is the season to be on our face before God and to repent. And then the praise and the worship is absolutely vital element of this, the praise and the worship. Sometimes we can get so caught up in the prayer and the battle and the struggle, what David was saying earlier, you know, about the physical aspect. Spiritual warfare is physically demanding. It is exhausting. Been there. It is absolutely exhausting.
I think that's what telling David to prep us for. We're
going into
exhausting times, and if we're not physically fit, it becomes very taxing on us. And I've literally seen people faint in prayer, not because of the unction, but because of the burden.
I believe that. I haven't seen it, but I believe that because I know Brenda and I have been in situations that God helped us in the situation, but once we got out of it and extracted away from the people, and it took a day, 2 days, 3 days, sometimes more to recuperate because it was so physically demanding. And you don't know it at the time sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Anytime that you, as a teacher, pastor, you bring a word of God, the presence, the anointing of God is so great that it demands so much of you physically that you're generally down until Tuesday, from Sunday to Tuesday. It takes so much from you. So, amen. Is your beautiful bride like to share anything?
Hi, Wade.
There she is.
Hey, Brenda.
Well, I had something that was kind of on my heart for the last couple of days. It's really brief. I do want to add, David was talking about being fit physically. I want to add to that we need to exercise our spirit a lot. And this is a learning process for all of us. I'm sure all of us are at different levels, and I feel like I'm at the very beginning. But the Lord showed me we need to exercise our spirit too, because we need to be discerning and we need to know how our spirit functions. And we just have to ask for a vision of it. And I believe He wants to show us, because we've walked in the flesh and the soul for so long. We haven't known how to operate in the spirit. And we need to just be so much in tune, because sometimes there's things that can be said or done, but, you know, and you want to do them, but we got to be led by the Spirit. What was on my heart was, you know, there's all this stuff with the Ebola and stuff going on, and I just wanted a word of encouragement to go out to people. John G. Lake worked, it was in Africa during the bubonic plague, and him and one or two other people worked in carrying dead bodies out from the houses to bury them. And he did not wear any protective gear because he was so so sold to the Lord and so believed the Lord's word that he said the very pores of his skin, it's like they were closed, they repelled death, and that's what the bubonic plague was. He actually took some tissue that it was still the living bubonic plague in his hand. And he held it in his hand for a few minutes, and he gave it back to a doctor, and they examined it. And the life in him killed the death in the bubonic plague. And so I just want to encourage everyone that, you know, you do what you have to do. Dan and I have been trusting the Lord for a while, and we all have to do what we can do. All of us are in different places. We have different levels of finance. We have, you know, we're just all in different circumstances. But I want to just encourage everyone, you know, that God is, he can do this. He can put that shield around you. I've seen a shield before between me and demonic entities, and it was like clear plexiglass. And I didn't realize it was there, but I felt a protection, and later he showed me that it was there. And so I just want to encourage everybody, you know, spend time, exercise your spirit by spending time with the Lord and waiting on him, seeking his presence, and then feed your spirit by praise, but feed it by the word of God too. And with that, I yield.
Yeah. I want to pray something right now. And it is a long prayer, but I want everybody to get this. And then I'm going to ask somebody else to close. Father Yahweh, your Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we stand before you this night. Lord, I'm coming on behalf of the people that have ears to hear on this call. I'm taking a bold move to stand for the nation, Lord. And Lord, I'm going to intercede. I'm not standing in the gap. I've said that. I'm making this known, Lord God. I'm going to come before you and repent on behalf of the sins of this nation that have been committed against you, sins of iniquity. These are the things that Tammy and I talked about. We ask for forgiveness for these sins. Lord, this goes back to the founding of this nation. And with Tammy and her family, they actually owned the property. They sold the property that Washington, D.C. was built on. Lord God, we ask that you would remove the case of these sins, of these idolatrous, iniquitous relationships to Luciferian society that has been the forming of the government. Lord, I ask that you remove it from the bloodline of the nation for the people that they did not know or understand.
Yeah.
Lord, this is major. Lord, that you would remove this, that you would have mercy upon this nation.
Yes.
We as a people have not chosen to worship Lucifer. Lord, this was brought about because of the leaders. And the leaders were put there and became the leaders because you allowed them to become leaders. Lord, you birthed the nation through many of them, but at the same time, they entered into unrighteous relationship. Please, Lord God, grant us that you would remove the judgment from the people and their bloodlines and take it from the courtroom of the accuser in judgment into the throne room of mercy and grace.
Amen.
And that you would grant unto us that the veil over the eyes of the people would be removed, that they could have understanding and see the need to repent for the nation. Lord, we declare that we desperately need the veil removed. You said if we confess our sins that you are faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. This nation, even though it was a nation from the beginning that was dedicated unto you by the pilgrims and by the Hebrews that came over, Lord God, to find a place where they could pray and worship without government control, as in the days of Noah, things have reversed. That which is good has been declared evil, and that which is evil has been declared good. Homosexuality has become the norm rather than that which is evil. Lord, we ask that you would fight against those who fight against us in the Spirit. We ask that you would grant unto us and give us, Lord God, the vision that you gave me several years ago in the fighting in the field, that, Lord, you have the angels put upon us the fullness of the armor that comes from you, that you would fight against those that fight against us, that you would allow us the shield and the buckler to stand for righteousness for this nation, that you would draw out the spear and the bow and the arrows and give them unto us that we could stand in your army. Lord, that we would be the salvation of the Lord, that we would be your inheritance and you ours, that was your promise. That, Lord God, our souls would rejoice with praise and thanksgiving joyfully unto you, rejoicing for our salvation, that, yea, we are without spot or blemish, but not only that, but the bones of our forefathers would recognize and cry out, even from hell, Lord God, in thanksgiving that the sins that have been put on the bloodline had been remitted, and that their children, their grandchildren for hundreds of generations, say thousands of generations, would be set free. Lord, that which has been held back by the blood that is lost, by the evil one sucking the blood of the bloodline, of the righteous blessings and inheritance, Lord God, that is lanced with the spear and the blood flows clean again. Lord, that we would be delivered from the hand of the strong man, and that in our poor and needy condition that we would triumph over him because you are our victory, that our very souls would rejoice, that our spirits would rejoice, that we would no longer be ashamed to lift up our hands in the sanctuary or say praise the Lord when something great happens or thank you, Lord, when a blessing comes, that our footsteps would be according to that which is your word.
Yes.
That, Lord, as we press in to get spiritually healthy and physically healthy, that we would have ears to hear and a heart to understand, that we could truly listen, not just hear, but listen to the cry of your spirit. That we and our families would be brought out of the pit and put upon the rock, that we'd be light in darkness. That you put a new song in our mouth, that praise would come forth from us like nobody's ever seen or heard before, that the new songs that have been written and stored in the heavens be released unto us, that we would sing those songs, that we'd sing and dance, as Tammy talked about, that we'd fall on our faces for 6 hours, like she told me, because the presence of your light is so bright that you could not stand in the presence of you. But at the same time, our soul would rejoice, Lord, that you would wash us with the water of your pure word and fill us to that, because we're thirsty. Our souls are thirsty, Lord God. It doesn't make any difference that our houses have been set clean, Lord, and washed and spotless, but that you would show us that which needs to be cleaned up for our people and our nation, for our families, the inheritance that our cousins and brothers and sisters and family members that we don't even know that are out there could be set free because of our prayers. Lord, that our tears, that every one of them would be caught by you, that our prayers would be in bowls of incense, that you would bless us, O Lord, because we bless you, Lord. We don't need to be blessed as far as God bless America. It needs to be America bless God.
Amen.
Excuse me, Lord, that we would bless you with such prayers of thanksgiving and joy that the heavens would rejoice. You spoke to me audibly once, Lord, and said, when you gave my daughter back to me from the deathbed, he said, how much joy you have. And I said, yes, Lord. He says, how much greater it is in heaven. The angels rejoice and sing when one of your children return unto you. So, Lord, I'm praying for my children, my children's children, and all those that have ears on this call. Lord God, that you return the children unto the fathers, and that the true Father, you, would return all unto you.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, that your mercy and loving kindness would overflow through us like never in our lives. That your goodness would be new every morning, and that we would have such a great abundance of your presence. Lord God, that we would wake up shouting for joy, that joy would fill our hearts in such a way that people would come up to us and say, what is the difference in you? What is it in you that is so different? What is that light that's shining through you? And it's the presence of you, oh, Lord.
Yeah.
For we wait upon you, expecting you, seeking you, inquiring of you, that we may be found. And that with thanksgiving and a grateful heart, we could come and lift up a sound of praise like trumpets that's never been heard in all the heavens, because the earth rejoices. And Lord, yea, we know judgment is at hand. We know it's upon the earth. We know that this is going to happen. But we also know that you're raising up a people whose heart is after your heart, nations whose heart are after your heart, that you're willing to forgive. If you could forgive Sodom and Gomorrah, you can forgive us, because you were willing to forgive Sodom and Gomorrah if 10 people would repent. Lord, there are 310 million people registered in the United States. 60% of them claim to be Christians. If only 15% of that were actually remnant, our God, there is, what is that, 10% would be 60? It would be 75 million people cry out to you. And thousands are coming to this understanding that we have to come before your courts with thanksgiving. Now, that we've got to come with praise, that we've got to come repenting, that we've got to come laying everything down because of that which you're doing. Lord, show us that we'd walk in wisdom and no longer walk in deception, that we would discern the light from darkness, that we would fill every room that we walk in with your presence, because you shine for us. And I thank you for that.
Let us praise the Lord on high. Let us worship the Lord our God. Let us praise the Lord on high, for he is merciful in praise. Lord, we worship your holy name. We worship your holy name. Let us feel, let us see, let us know, let us be your praise. Pammy, you have been in that presence now for days. Would you take us to the throne and close us out this night?
Lord, I just plead the blood of Jesus over every person on this line. That you just give them a revelation, Lord, of what you want to do for them, Lord. That you just show each person anything in their bloodline, Lord, that needs cut off, trimmed off, removed, or renounced, Lord. And that show them step by step how to do this, Lord, and just clean them, cleanse their bloodline all the way to the beginning of time, Lord, where we are spotless, we are part of the spotless bride, Lord, without spot or wrinkle, and that you will heal us, restore us to your presence, Lord, and where there is no blemish anywhere in our bloodline. And Lord, I thank you for Wade, and I just speak healing to his body, restoration to him, Lord, and to Francis, and I just declare that you will give them revelation knowledge of you and everything that they need to do, Lord, and I just thank you for it and bless every person's bloodline, Lord. I just plead your blood, that your blood will flow through each one of our bloodlines, Lord, and that you will go through and cleanse every spot, and I just thank you for it, Lord, and that you will just send your glory down on each person, Lord, and let them experience. Show them, give each person a key, Lord, and show them where that lock is and let them take that key and unlock that door, Lord, to every one of the blessings that has been withheld from them and just pour it out on them, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you all for being on. I know there's many of you that I've not called on. I'm just led by whatever I feel the Spirit's telling me to do. I have made some promises I've not been able to keep, and I ask you all to forgive me just because of time and energy and warfare. But I truly believe that we're going to press through and all these things will come to pass. I'll be able to do that, which I said I'd do. Some of it's just praying with some of you. Some of it's other things. But just recognize that we are part of the remnant that he wants to polish and shine and light a light in us. I want to encourage each and every one of you. I thank you, Matt, for your sharing. I thank you, Tammy. I thank you, Gene and Dan and Brenda and John. Because of children, I kind of let you go. And Underwood, I did the same thing, but there's so many on today, but thank you for your input. Be encouraged.
Not a problem.
Be encouraged. The war is great, but he is with us, and he is in us is greater.
Amen.
Lord,
amen.
I ask that you would open up the eyes of every person. They could see that those that are with him are greater than those that are against them. The mighty shield and buckler around them, let the fullness of thy armor be made available to them, that they would understand where they are and that you have an angel to even help them get dressed, to cleanse them, to put on clothes, garments of fine silk and linen, garments of praise and worship and thanksgiving, and then the fullness of thy armor, which is forged in the forges of heaven, dipped in the blood of the Lamb, that no weapon can penetrate. So, Lord, we surrender with thanksgiving and a grateful heart and dedicate this night to you and all that have ears to hear. In Yeshua's precious name. With that, I'm turning off the recording.